Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. And today is our second day of our 40 days. There's a whole bunch of people. I've been getting emails, so has Michael, and phone calls saying everybody's going to jump on board with this. Lent started yesterday, which is 40 days of something, and so we decided to do 40 days, 5 worksheets a day, and that culminates in the resurrection of getting rid of the hostilities and fears and resurrecting into a new state of being. And so there's a whole bunch of people have jumped on board on that, and some have said, oh, well, I'll do one or two, but that's okay if they're in there for 40 days. But the 5 a day for 40 days, we have a ton of people doing that, and we welcome you to the process. Today's Memorial Day celebration, 270, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We would love to hear from you. Yesterday when we ended the show, we had about 4 people sitting on the switchboard, and we ran out of time and couldn't get to everybody, so hopefully they'll all call back in today. Dr. David's with us today. Welcome, Michael.
Delighted to be here. Welcome, everybody, to the show. We are excited and delighted to be sharing with you and carrying forward the process of forgiveness. I'm really impressed at how many people have just jumped on board and said, I'm going to do this 5 a day. And over the years, when I've asked that question, there's usually some kind of an argument or some kind of an excuse why I can't do it, and I mean, this time, and it, to me, it's an indicator that critical mass is moving. Everybody just kind of automatically went, oh, of course, yes, of course I'll do it. So that's pretty cool, and of course, Memorial Day is all about doing that forgiveness work. We are moving, critical mass, we are moving to the point where we are going to eradicate war from planet Earth. How does that happen? Here's how it happens. First of all, if you're going to deal with something, you have to deal with the cause. If you look at most of what the world is doing, in order to keep us in the cycle of insanity, it deals with the fact. You know, in medicine, well, we want to suppress the symptoms of your disease. We don't want to heal your disease. There's no money in healing your disease. If we show you what the root of the disease is and you fix it, then you won't buy our product. So, or our service. So, you know, just about everywhere, that's the kind of mentality that goes. You know, go look at the box in the drugstore, and you'll see a thing that says, suppress the symptoms of your cold. Why would you want to stuff all that back in your body? Well, guess what that does? It creates long-term degenerative disease and more business. You know, Jerry Maguire, show me the money. And so what we're looking to do is to start to deal with cause. What's the cause of war? You know, you can go back 2,000 years ago and you hear this fellow named James in the ancient Aramaic scriptures, which are a physics, a physiology, a psychological, and a genetic language. And he says, the cause of war is the conflict within your members, i.e., that which is going on inside of you. Not members of an organization, but the conflict within the members of your own physiology. And when we're at conflict with ourselves, and you'll notice if you're doing the 5 worksheets a day or you're doing one a day or you've done one, you'll notice that you found out something that you didn't know about yourself and you resolved the conflict within yourself. When you drill down into the hidden parts of your mind, which most people never want to look at, what happens is you resolve the conflicts there. And when the conflict in your members disappears, guess what happens? the reason for war disappears. When the reason for war disappears, guess what? We're going to stop pointing the finger at each other. We're going to stop blaming our spouses, our children, our parents, our neighbors, our, you know, enemies across the globe, and we're going to recognize who we really are. One of my favorite statements from Albert Einstein is a statement that says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. The whole world is working out of an optical delusion that there's more than one of us. That is a trick of your mind. And when you play that trick, you can deny and dissociate from something inside yourself. And then you can hook it to your brain's image of someone else and be sure that it's caused by them. Of course, the question that I have for you, if you hold to that belief, is, if they're the one with the problem, why am I the one with the pain? I'm the one with the pain because my system is signaling me that I have a problem, that there's something going on inside of me that I need to change. And forgiveness is how you reach inside to the hidden and dissociated parts of your mind and change them. So we're here to support you doing that. We're delighted to be on the support team. We're delighted for the community and the space that everybody in this community is holding for everyone else. It's absolutely awesome. And so, Jeannie, do we have any call? Well, first of all, before we go to callers or check on that, if you do want to call in, our call-in number is 646-200-4169, 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that'll put you in queue to ask a question, have a personal conversation with Jeannie or I. And if the forgiveness conversation, you know, if you're like, what are you talking about? What do you mean this is how you change your dissociated mind and heal your pain? Well, go to our website. The work is freely available. You know, we travel 6 to 10 months of the year, and 90%, 99% of our workshops are free because we're committed to giving it away. I really don't care whether you got money or not. We're here to support you in healing. It's time for our planet to change. I want to have a place for my kids and their kids and their kids to grow up. If we don't change the dynamics, that's not going to happen. So you can go to the website, whyagain.com, and on the right-hand side, there's a link. The link says download worksheets. It's about the sixth link down. Click on that, and the first five links will give you the whole forgiveness process, exactly how to change what's happening within your own dissociated mind. There are lots of people who have lots of stories and lots of belief systems, and they talk about all the things, the wonderful work that they've done. Folks, here's the take. If you're not doing forgiveness, then you've been rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I listen to people all the time who tell me about their wonderful philosophy and how wonderful they know they are and how they know they're one with everybody else. But when the stress is up and the chips are down, or you listen to their language, there is so much conflict. There is so much stress within their language. There's so many words based in hostility or fear. And, of course, when confronted, the average person says, oh, well, that's not what I really meant. Excuse me. Your words fly up and your dissociated thoughts remain below. The source of your words is your thoughts. And so when you start looking at your words and you say things like, well, you know, I'm not angry about that, what you're telling me is that you're in denial and dissociation of your anger, and you're angry about that. So when you start listening to your words, it's an awesome cue. And the fabulous thing about that is you get to just go in and delete that part of your mind once you start paying attention. You know, it's not the old game, the old, you know, give me that old-time religion. You're a sinner. You're to blame. Look at the terrible things you've done. Oh, how horrible you are. It's, oh, look at what I've been hiding from myself. I think it's time for me to forgive and move on back to my human life. And our definition of a human life is, hold a newborn child. That's who you are. We're here to support you. Living is who you are. We're here to support you holding a space for your spouse, for your children, for your parents, for your neighbors, for your employers, for the people that maybe you even hate, to experience themselves as the awesome active presence of love. And in that is our oneness. In that is our literal physiological oneness. And we bypass the illusion of the mind that shows us pictures as Albert Einstein says, the optical delusion of separateness. So welcome to the show, Jeannie. Do we have any comments in the chat room? Is Dr. Tim with us? David, welcome. Any callers?
David and Tim are both with us, and yes, we have a caller. So if you want to say hey to David and Tim first.
Let's just do a welcome to David and Tim. Gentlemen, how do you be?
Doing well, Michael. Thank you.
Very good. Dr.
Tim?
It
looks like Tim dropped off.
Oh, we lost him. He'll probably come back. I know that, you know, this is his practice time, so he's liable to have a client or something that's calling. But anyway, we're glad that you're here. Lots of exciting things happening in Florida. We are at a Unity Church in Ocala this week, and we've got two more nights of workshops left, and then Saturday we're doing a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. We're working with a small group here, and it kind of looked like it wasn't going to happen, and all of a sudden a bunch of people last night came out of the woodwork and said, I want to breathe. And so we're doing that. We have a week next week. We'll go from here, and on Sunday we'll start at New Beginning Oneness Center in Holiday, Florida. We'll do 7 days of workshops there. And then we've actually got a week off, except, of course, for the radio show. And then we'll start a week of workshops in Boca Raton, Florida. Then we've got a little bit of time off. We'll be doing a workshop over in Sarasota, a training with another group called the Clear Mind Institute. And then we'll start a 9-day WISE is happening to me again April the 6th, Good Friday. It'll be an awesome time with everybody that's doing the 5 worksheets a day. This intensive starting April 6th is going to be absolutely awesome. And that workshop filled up so quickly that we've gone and turned around and set a back-to-back. So we'll be doing a second 9-day intensive. If you're ready to jump in, you want to come in April, the weather should be absolutely beautiful in northeast Florida. That's where we'll be, just south of St. Augustine, Florida. We'll be doing the second 9-day intensive that will start on the 14th of April and go through the 24th. So if you're 24th, 23rd, whatever the date is. In any event, if you're ready to jump in on that, the first one's full, but we are doing the second back-to-back 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And that one's actually half full already. We're halfway there to having that one completely filled up. So anyway, Jeannie, we've got a caller. Let's say hello to our caller.
And the dates, the first one is the 6th to the 14th. The second one is the 14th to the 22nd.
14 to 22, okay. So the first one will start on Friday night and go through a week the following Saturday. Saturday morning we'll do a closure session, and then Saturday night we'll do an opening session for the next 9-day, and it'll finish the following Sunday. Normally we take a day off in between, but that would put it into the next week, into Monday. So we're actually going to start on Saturday night, the 22nd, and it'll go, or pardon me, the 14th. And then that will complete on Sunday the 22nd, so people will be able to get back home for work on Monday morning. So,
awesome. And our caller is area code 970. Is this Nene?
Hey, Michael and Jeannie. It is Carrie in Colorado.
Hi, Carrie.
Hey. Welcome, lady.
Kel, I'm so excited to hear that intensive filled up and room for a second one. That's such a beautiful place. What a great spot.
Yeah, you know, I was realizing, Carrie, yesterday that I haven't contacted your mother. We've just been so busy. I meant to contact your mother to see if that's something that she wants to do. And so I'll need to remember to give her a shout. Just say hello.
Okay.
And
I've been giving her little nudges, but that'd be great. I'll text you her number so you can do that if you want.
Cool.
And yesterday I had called in right at the end of the show, and I was bringing up the issue of, when I was in this relationship recently, the person wanted to keep telling me that I wasn't taking responsibility for my stuff. And I realized as that's been percolating inside of me and I'm doing this work, how much the blame game, you know, is in there, you know, and I don't want to feel like, you know, I don't want to feel like, I know that I wasn't not taking responsibility on purpose, but it's always, you know, it's always both. It's whatever we're carrying around inside us and we're triggering in each other. And we obviously didn't have these tools at the time, but I'd love to hear you enlarge a little bit more on that subject, because I am really wrestling with my soul to, I'm doing worksheets, I'm looking for the clearing, but man, it is deep. You know, it's something I can keep drilling down into, and there's a lot of deep stuff in there. And then I end up feeling, you know, these feelings of worthlessness or there's something wrong with me. And, you know, I'd like to just keep clearing. So any insights are totally welcome.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people believe that they're taking responsibility. And in that belief that they're taking responsibility, they use the language, you know, well, this is all mine. I understand that. And then they go on with, but when you did this, which totally belies the idea of taking responsibility and leaves us in the place of a dissociated mind. So any inclination to say to somebody, when you, leaves you in a place of dissociation and with a lack of responsibility. And the beautiful thing about responsibility, you know, the non-being mind, we talk about being a non-being, and human beingness, our offering is that the human being, just hold a newborn child, you know what a human being is. And non-being is the self that seems to be, that's based in hostility and fear. And that self that seems to be, that really isn't, rules most people's conversations, because that's what we've been taught to do. And that's what we've bought into as our identity. And so to recognize the minute I go into a conversation about when you, then as soon as I say when you, I've created something inside of me, and I have to hide it to think it's got anything to do with you. And responsibility really is, you know, the non-being, when it hears the word responsibility, says, you mean I'm the guilty party? I'm at fault? I'm to blame? No, none of that. There's nothing about any of those things in the word responsibility. The word responsibility simply means I now have a tool with which I can recapture this part of my mind that I've been blaming on you. And, of course, the forgiveness process allows one to drill down into those parts of the mind. So you might want to just, a good exercise might be to sit and write this person a letter that just let yourself totally, completely let loose. No censor, no, you know, this is mine, this isn't. Just let yourself blow out everything you want to say to them. Why, when you, and then you did this, and you rottenness, and just let it all rip. With no censoring whatsoever. And then go back and start looking at all the places where, when you let loose, because we're really good at owning it, or pardon me, pretending to own it when there's no stress. But when the stress is up and the chips are down, the part of our mind that doesn't have a clue how to own it is what takes over. So I would suggest that you just sit down, not a letter that you're going to send. That would be different. That would be the responsibility communication letter we talked about yesterday. But just a letter that everything you ever wanted to blame, you know, remember that third date we had, and, you know, you looked at that girl across there, and that really peeved me, and I really felt, you know, and you should have, and I want to punch you in the nose. You know, whatever it is, just let it all rip. And then you'll have a list of your worksheets.
Okay. That sounds like a good plan. It's not, you know, because I've been really wrestling with it, and then I feel kind of stuck. So that might be a good way to break loose some of the stuckness. And, you know, and it's amazing how much defensiveness I certainly carry around inside myself. And
That's all of us.
Yeah. So anyway, well, cool. That is totally exciting. I will do that. I'll put my pen to the paper and actually do that today. And, really appreciate your insights, and I guess Jeannie could disconnect me, and I'll just stay on and listen, or else I can recall in, whichever.
I'll do it.
Okay, and Terry, before you disconnect, is the 2652 at Gmail the best address to send you an email?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to send you a copy of a responsibility communication letter that I think you might find useful.
Awesome. Okay, thanks so much, Michael.
We appreciate
you. Big blessings to you guys, onward and forward.
Awesome. All right, we have three people on hold, so y'all just hang on there, and we'll get you one at a time. The first one is area code 517. You're on the air. Who do we have?
This is Tony. Tony. Hendrick.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from, Tony?
From Lansing. I'm part of Rex's group that's starting the commitment to do five a day for 40 days. And,
fabulous.
And I just wanted to share an insight that just came up for me yesterday. It's based a little bit in what you were just talking about with owning, you know, or owning it, being inside of yourself. And I've been doing these worksheets since, I think, 2004 and off and on. And it was nice to do this commitment to do five a day. And because I had tried to do that, probably about a month ago, and then I backed off of it. But I noticed the worksheets that I was doing, I was doing all of them mostly on myself. And the insight that I had yesterday is that I realized that I was doing the worksheets on myself almost as a way of ignoring this idea of other people in my life actually triggering what's inside of me. I'm trying to make sense of this as I'm talking. But so what I would do is these worksheets on myself, and I would bring up stuff, but as I would be doing my daily life, I would ignore the things that would be bothering me that other people were doing. And now I just started doing, actually I used a lot of the things that you've said on the calls as part of my trigger, and you know, using the things that you said and using like my son and my wife, I started to see how these are things that are going inside of me by using them as the trigger instead of using myself. Is that making any sense? Maybe you can expand.
It is. Yep. Right on track.
Yeah. So I just thought that I would share that.
Cool. Well, we hold the space for that process to continue to move upward and onward, and you know, getting to the point where you are truly part of the team that changes the world, because it's individuals who are willing to take that level of commitment. I really appreciate and acknowledge you for being committed enough to do worksheets over as long a period of time as you've been doing, and then to pick up and say, okay, I'm ready to do five a day again for 40 days. And it's fabulous.
Well, thank you.
All right, sir. Have a blessed one.
Yep.
Okay. Bye-bye. Jeannie, we've got another caller, two or three or four.
Yes, we do. Our next one is area code 352.
Area code 352, you're on the air. Where are you calling from? Give us a name.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello. Is this me or... Is this another 352 or?
And who? No, that's you. Who are we talking
okay.
to?
I'm talking to Rick. I've seen you over the last couple of weeks. I'm calling from Brooksville down here in Florida.
Oh, okay, cool. Welcome.
Yeah.
We're going to be back over your way Sunday.
In Brooksville.
Well,
to Holiday.
Going to be in Holiday at the New Beginning Oneness Center.
Yeah, we've already got your schedule. We're looking to see you over there too.
Awesome.
But Yeah, I've been listening. Last two callers were really helpful. I've been doing some on self, some of these worksheets. I've been, my goal is to do five of them a day because my feeling is I've got an enormously big bag of garbage to get rid of. One of the things that I have been troubled with for years is anger, and it's
how rare.
But and this sounds completely insane, but I get angry at almost anything that doesn't go my way.
Yeah.
Wrong. The other night, I was coming back from actually one of your workshops in Ocala, and I'm unfamiliar with the area, and I made a wrong turn.
Right.
And even though I was so uplifted by that workshop, I immediately went unconscious. And I got in a real snit, and my wife was making suggestions, and I could feel that I was getting angry at her, and she had nothing to do with what I was doing. You know, I was the one driving the car.
Oh, I hear you.
And what I was doing was a worksheet on that, and you know, I'm just wondering if I'm self seemed like a for 1A seemed like a good object, and what happened? Actually, I was not really lost. I had just turned the wrong way. All I had to do was make a U-turn, and that was back on track.
Yep.
Let me just make
a really wild guess here.
Okay.
You had a power person, and when you didn't perform perfectly, your power person opened a file in your mind and poured anger and rage on you. Would that be by any chance accurate?
Pretty close, yes.
So here's the game. Here's the game. A power person is somebody who's not functioning. This is our codependence work, and that's one of the workshops we'll be doing over in Holiday. Make sure you catch that one. It'll boggle your mind if you haven't seen it yet. So here I am. I'm my child's power person. I came out of a long line of deniers and dissociators and rage-filled people. So I conceived a child whose genetics carried my family system's rage. So it's kind of like the tuning fork that we talk about. If I hit a middle C tuning fork on a desk, the second tuning fork that's a middle C doesn't have any choice as to whether or not it vibrates. If I put it near the second tuning fork starts to fire and it takes off. It's got no choice. That's just the way the energy system works. And so I have a tuning fork for all the rage that was poured on me throughout my life, which was poured on me by my power person, who had it poured on him by his power person, who had it poured on her by her power person, and on it goes. So now my child is conceived with exactly precisely the same tuning fork in their genetics. My child comes into the world, and I go, oh, this is so awesome. What an awesome presence of love this child is. This is so fabulous. Look, I have this wonderful baby. I'm so proud. I carry it around, and look how awesome this is. And then one day, my child does something that violates a goal that was the same goal my power person had for me. And when they violate that goal, it opens that file in my mind. That file in my mind pours out its content. What is the content? The tuning fork has been set in motion. The content is rage, and so, as my child's power person, I just blast them with all this rage. They have the match for that, and so they have no choice. You know, this kid is 4 months old. I mean, how many times have you heard about the baby that was shaken to death, or the one that wasn't quite shaken to death by the rage-filled parent who thought it was the child's fault that they were under such stress? And so that rage-filled parent who started off, you know, slapping the little kid in the face, whether it was 3 months or 3 years of age or 13 years of age, doesn't matter. And so pouring out that energy with the matching tuning fork, you didn't have any choice but to take that energy on. Nobody gave you the tool of forgiveness. So you have a tuning fork that is fully charged. And all you have to do is violate a goal. That's why the forgiveness work is so key to goals. All you have to do is violate a goal that your power person had for you that you now hold for yourself, and that file moves, and that tuning fork starts to fire, and up comes all this rage. Anybody that gets in the way will do as an object of attention for that rage. And so as you begin to forgive, and I'll invite you, because this is the stuff that kills us, I'll invite you to get ready for resurrection, and that is, do the next 40 days of 5 worksheets a day around that rage until you get to the point where you have so emptied yourself of that that you can shatter that tuning fork and you're finished with rage. Now, when you finish with the rage, get ready, because all hell is going to break loose, because rage is nothing but a drug with which you anesthetize the pain that underlies the rage. And when that comes up, there's your next piece of work.
Yeah.
And as you forgive as to that rage, so you don't forgive your power person for pouring rage on you, you don't forgive yourself for being rageful at yourself or at your wife, you apply forgiveness to your rage so that you dissolve and remove that drug, and under it will come the pain, the rejection, the sadness, the grief, the loss, the fear, whatever it is, and as you continue your forgiveness work, you dissolve that, and then there's not even the capability for rage no matter what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're right on track. You look around at the culture, and most men especially, we've been brainwashed with this. You're not allowed to show feelings. So when somebody says, you know, it looks like you're really enraged here, it's like, who, me? I'm not. You know, I'm never enraged. I'm never angry. You know that. Have you ever done that little number?
Oh, yeah.
You're halfway there, my friend, because you can say, you know what? Here I was pouring rage on my wife and doing rage at myself over nothing. Well, it isn't over nothing. It's over the fact that that's what's in your tuning fork, so to speak. That's what's in brain cells. And that's what needs to be forgiven in order to put an end to that genetic insanity that has been perpetuated in our culture for too long. You're halfway there. You're able to say, oh, my God, look at the rage I've got.
Mm. Yeah.
That's kind of cool, and that's powerful.
Yeah, well, I've kind of let it get to the point where, you know, it's been growing the last couple of years. I feel very depressed a lot of the time, and I feel very, you know, loss of energy, you know, and I imagine it is because I'm using all this energy to hold that crap down, or have been.
Yeah, depression is nothing but turning that anger inward. That depression is an adult temper tantrum.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're right. You know, I mean, the realizations that you're having, you're right on track, and that's exactly what's going to bring you healing.
Okay.
But make sure that you get to the codependence, and if you can, at least the healing through relationships workshops when we're there in holiday, because it'll just open a whole other with the level of awareness that you've got now, it'll open a whole other piece of work to do and a whole other insight into the game of life.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to do something. I'm destroying myself with, you know, with this crap. I had a specific question about number six in the form, though. You know, I asked to be shown how I have violated number three. You know, that's my goal. For myself, which I put down as to stay centered, calm, and intelligent. that's my goal. You know, that's what I've had. You know, that's why I'm so always so disappointed with myself when I get angry.
No, here's my offering. Okay, that's a dissociated statement. That's a statement that will lead you to a dissociated state. You're not all that upset at yourself because you don't hold to that space. You're upset because you hold in your mind upset. When you say, I'm upset because of this, then I dissociate from direct relationship with the upset. Once you cancel the goal to do this, then you can come back to direct relationship with the root of your upset, and that's when you can just process through it. But when I say to myself, I'm upset because of this, I'm now, you know, it's more of the, when you, you know, it's all your fault. When I recognize I'm not upset because of anything except that I have upset in me, and what I need to do is to come back into direct relationship with my upset and let it loose. And it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, it didn't develop overnight. I guarantee if you could interview your power person and 10 generations of power persons before them, 10 generations ago, I guarantee your power person was doing the same rage.
Yeah.
You came by it honestly, and all you have to do is crack it and begin to dissolve it. And piece by piece by piece, you'll dissolve it, and you'll be done with it.
Okay.
And then you're
well,
be afraid of it.
What would be my goal? Like say for number three, you know, like if I'm doing this on
I want to be perfect. I have to be perfect.
Okay.
So when I have a goal to be perfect, i.e., so that I don't get into trouble with my power person, and then I cancel my goal to be perfect, I collapse the projection that relates to the power person, and I go back into the next level of my own mind. You know, if it, the signal, if I'm driving along and I make a wrong turn, like all I have to do is go around the block, like what's the big deal? But
when
I make a mistake, it's because I have a goal to be perfect in order to survive with my power person. So when I cancel the goal to be perfect, I invite Rukka into that part of my mind to clean out all of the beatings I took because I wasn't perfect. Then when I delete that stuff, I'm not going to have to beat myself up because I made a mistake. I'll be able to go, oh, I made a wrong turn, made a mistake. Let's go around the block. Instead of making a big deal out of it, the non-being mind that holds dissociated pain about something wants to make a big deal about anything and everything that resonates that file. And it's like, get over it. I made a mistake. Okay. I can stay in a connected space of love and approval for myself when I make a mistake. Instead of, boy, if I make a mistake, my power person's going to pound me into the ground verbally or emotionally or maybe physically, then I have this compulsive part of me that can't make a mistake. And when I do, or when anybody else does, I'll go on and on and on and on about the mistake in order to try to control, to make sure that they or I never make the mistake again. Instead of, oh, a mistake. So what? I go around the block. Gee, you know, I'm going to have to drive an extra 10 miles. How terrible. I have to drive an extra 10 miles because I made a mistake. Now, is that worth me giving up my human life and pounding on myself for? Or could I say, you know, it's a really gorgeous day, and I get to drive 10 miles in the country to see some of the countryside. Or, you know, it's a really rotten night, it's rainy, it's miserable. I get to drive 10 miles and improve my driving skills instead of my power person's going to come and puke on me because I made a mistake.
Okay. That makes sense.
And so each time you collapse the projection from those brain cells of rage related to power person dynamics, and there's where that codependence workshop is so awesome and so powerful. And you know, if anybody's listening and you want to tap more into that, you can go to our website, and on the catalog page, there's a DVD. It's a two-hour DVD of the codependence dynamic. And you know, that's one of the latest workshops I created, and it's one of the most mind-boggling of all of them. And, you know, it's just time for this non-being mind to lose its control over us. And, you know, the reason why when they said to Yeshua, well, okay, I forgave that one. How many times do I have to do this? He says, 77 times, 70 times in Aramaic. You know, they say to him, is 7 of these worksheets enough? And he says, no, 77 times 70. Why? Because this is a dynamic that's been going on for so long, for so many generations, that in order to get loose of it, in order to get loose of the terror, in order to get loose of the beatings, and, you know, that oftentimes those beatings, which were maybe only verbal, or maybe it was just a power person giving that controlling look that made us know we were in deep trouble. And, you know, the last time we were given that look might have been when we were 2 years of age. There had been several beatings before that 2 years of age, and we knew that when we got that look, there was a beating coming. Maybe we haven't gotten a beating since we were two over it. But all of the brain cells and all of the terror and all of the trauma and all of the beatings and all of the verbal abuse, all the visual abuse, all the emotional abuse that went along with it to make sure that we never violated that goal again with our power person is in there. And, yeah, it might take 77 times 70 worksheets to delete it all. But that's the game. And, of course, the game of the other game of the non-being mind is when that stuff comes up, because we're in denial and dissociation, we project it on whoever's handy. And it could be the most cherished person in the world that we project it on. And it's like, just, you know, it's like time to get over it. I made a mistake. Wow, how terrible. And, of course, the non-being mind cannot distinguish between the little tiny mistake and the biggest, most horrific mistake. So somebody will be in a relationship where, you know, they've been just horribly, physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually abused or whatever, and until they clean that file out in their minds, 30 years later, somebody makes the smallest mistake, it opens that file, and all of that stuff gets dumped on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just the game of this non-being mind.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's helped a lot.
She's delighted. Hey, the simple fact that you can ask the question, the simple fact that you can go, instead of being unconscious of your anger or having an excuse for it, to just go, man, that was crazy. Look how angry I got over nothing. It's like that's how you start to get into that file and get it to open and clean up its garbage.
Well, you know how ludicrous it is I was doing a worksheet today on my comb because it got stuck in my pocket when I was combing my hair this morning, and I was aware that I got very angry with the comb. I know this sounds completely insane, but I remember my mother... I remember my mother, and she did it with a little bit of chagrin, so she knew how crazy it sounded, but she said, I get really enraged when inanimate objects just defy me. How crazy is, you know? I told my wife about that, and she looked at me like I was somebody from Mars, you know, like, oh.
What I discovered in my own process is when I can get into a state of rage at an inanimate object for what it did to me.
Yeah.
Core issue, and I'm just speaking for me now, may give you an opening. The core issue there is selfishness.
Is what?
I want what I want when I want it. And anything that gets in my way, I'll puke on it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's just selfishness and self-centeredness. Like, you know, the whole universe, including inanimate objects, should arrange themselves around me so that I don't have to look at my pain. And so what I, for me, discovered, and actually this was a piece that I came up with, you know, we before the end of the year, we did a commitment like we're doing with the Lenten season. Leading up to the end of the year, David had invited everybody, you know, he counted out 40 days from December 31st and invited everybody to do 5 worksheets a day for that 40 days, which I did. And that was one of the pieces that, for me, I discovered. It's like, oh, my God, this is about selfishness and self-centeredness. Everything has to revolve around me. And, you know, that's kind of one of the diseases of our particular Western culture.
Mm.
You know, people who have absolutely everything. I was talking to a lady this morning that we're staying with, or yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, how kings and queens in the past would have loved to have had the most humble home that we have today, would give everything they had in order to be able to walk into the bathroom and flush a toilet, in order to be able to walk into the shower and have hot water, in order to be able to turn a little switch and heat food, or to enable to be able to go to the refrigerator and open it up and have, you know, something, some frozen something, or you know, I mean, they would have given everything. But we've become so dissociated from our own hostility and fear that the ability to appreciate those things is almost lost in this culture. You look at kids today, and they're so self-centered and so selfish that though they've got everything, they go into a fit of rage over nothing. And that's because their minds are filled with rage.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're looking to do, because when minds are filled with rage, sooner or later they're going to find somebody to make war on. What we're looking to do, of course, is to simply support every mind, heart, and being on the planet, being able to put an end to that game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah.
So thanks
well,
for
I'm,
being on the team.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely delightful. Blessings. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You mean to tell me that when the computer doesn't cooperate, that it's not supposed to do what I want it to do?
Oh, I have never, ever, you know, been upset with my computer when it's not done what I wanted it to do when I wanted it to do it. There's a cute little story about the two kids, you know, they're 5 years of age and they're sitting on the curb talking to each other, the little boy and the little girl. The little boy reaches his arm around the little girl and reaches down to a certain her body and she looked at him and she's like, "What are you doing?" He said, "I want what I want when I want it." And the little girl says, "You'll get what I got when I get it."
Oh, me. All right, let's go to the next caller. So area code 541, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Julie here. Julie Matthews.
Hey,
Matthews. Hi. Wow. Lots is very good right now, and I'm getting caught up on my worksheets. And I just want to say a little word of encouragement to people who think they have nothing to do worksheet on. I say do whatever's there, you know. And so I was actually feeling pretty good, and I had been looking at a picture of my mom and my newborn brother, and we were all holding each other in a picture. So it was just a great picture to look at. And I just kept seeing more and more in it, and the joy that I'm not now feeling and what happened to it, you know? And so it started cueing me in the more I looked. And I finally got to this point of recognizing how much I miss my mother. And I haven't been able to say that for a long time because I was told by Christians to lay her to rest, you know? And so anyway, I wrote down as my 1A, my object of attention, I miss my mother. you know, and that just felt like the right thing to write. And so my whole, you know, everything just spilled forth from there. So I really trust that whatever we write into the blanks as we're directed, if we don't get too caught up in what does it all mean and what how, I don't get how I'm supposed to do this, and we just trust what's there because our willingness is there to address something and use the precision math of the worksheet, and the precise math of the worksheet is there regardless of if we follow it perfectly. You know, it just opens up if we... I'm sorry, a truck is going by. I'm walking my dog. Nature calls. if we're just willing. And then, so anyway, one worksheet led to another, led to another, led to another. And I got to see where my need for someone to take care of me has come from. And I even got into my pain about not taking care of myself or others, and past life stuff about how I betrayed others because I was powerless to take care of them, and just all kinds of little threads like that started filling in and giving me my life back, really, because I got to cancel the story. The worksheet really talks about canceling story. I'll stop, yeah.
Julie, they weren't little threads. They were not little threads. Those are all pretty big issues.
They are, yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
And of course, when you look at that, you can see why the mind goes into resistance, and I don't want to go there, I don't want to deal with that. But then the thing is that when we're not willing to go there, we're not able to go there, we refuse to go there, then that's what defines us and sets up the next issue. Whereas, as our last caller shared with us, you know, I missed a turn. I turned the wrong way. And all of a sudden, that whole thing defines us. And so the big benefit is that when I have the courage to go in and look and deal with it, then I get to change the whole dynamic. And that's the beauty of it. So I acknowledge you for your willingness to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, and so actually, because I'm able to do whatever's there and let it open, even though it may not look like anything at first, the worksheet process is going faster. I never have been able to rush through them, but I probably now do about 1 in 15 minutes. So to do 5 is just giving myself an hour and a half or so, and I'm building strength in not getting distracted from it, which was part of the issue that was tied to this mother stuff too. So procrastination, distraction, oh my gosh, just so much. Thank you, and our support groups are doing pretty well. There's some resistance to doing worksheets, but I'm sure that will change because it's changing for me. and also my partner Ed is he's his own process, his own way, and I realize that I don't need to do process with him, that I have no real grasp or understanding of what level he's at or what he's doing, and I used to compete or try to live up to the way he did it or layer his authority over me. So I'm not doing that. I'm just simply doing my work, and my resonance will meet his resonance when we get together. And whatever light shines, shines. And so it's great. And I, you know, I can't save him or rescue him. He can't save me or rescue me. I think we used to see each other as each other's life raft, you know, and I know I saw that. And I'm not seeing things that way. I'm really relying on Holy Spirit a lot, Ruka Dakucha. I just love being connected to the Aramaic again. Really feels so right. So thank you, Michael.
Well, nice work. That's awesome. You're opening a space on the planet, you know, for something different. And the insight level that you're gaining will change the minds of, as the Course in Miracles says, millions yet unborn.
Yeah, definitely. I do see that that's the work I'm doing too, you know. And it is the only work for me right now, and I'm getting so many insights as to how that will expand too. But I'm still having to clear what's in the way, so that's fine. I'm willing. I'm empowered.
Very
and,
cool.
Oh, I did, you know, I like the getting three of them done in the morning and then doing two at night. I think that's going to work for me. So I must acknowledge my buddy in our support groups named Kim, who reminded me that I need to make time for my worksheets to be done. Simple concept, but I wasn't doing that because I was swimming around and putting it off. So I cleared that out. So.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. Carry on the good work, and we'll look forward to the next time we get face to face.
Yeah, definitely.
Huh? Okay. Take care. All righty.
That reminds me of starting in March, every Friday is going to be Aramaic Friday. We have a guest with us on the show, Dale Hoffman from Asheville, North Carolina. And he is involved in the Aramaic. He actually speaks Aramaic, and so he's going to be with us. We're going to be doing Aramaic Fridays every Friday in March. And now we have just a few minutes, but we have one more caller. Area code 413, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Janie. Linda here from Massachusetts.
Hey, young lady.
Hi. I have a quick question, but I know it's almost over. I wanted to say I really appreciated the caller previous to Julie talking about anger and your insight about selfishness, which really resonates. But my question quickly is resentment seems to be like most of the feelings that I'm aware of, but fear is also really prominent. So is fear also used like anger is used? Is there any, I could give you an example, but there isn't too much time left. So, for instance, I watched a program the other night that was about this guy having a heart issue or something, which I've had some issues with irregularities and things like that. And it resonated a lot of fear, and my body resonates a lot of fear with me. So I'm wondering if that is a cover, like anger is, for not dealing with stuff in general.
I think that fear is one of the primal causative levels. Anger is always secondary. Anger is always a drug. Fear is more the prime. And so when I'm angry, I don't have to feel my fear. I can puff up and, you know, pretend there's no fear. I'm the tough guy. Look at me. I've got the power. And when I begin to dissolve my fear, my anger, then what I get in touch with is that fear, that terror, and that primal stuff that happened with my power person. You know, the first time that my power person didn't treat me like this awesome, cherished being called love, which for some people, you know, it was while they were still in the womb. You know, some people in the womb of, you know, I'm not even wanted. There's a coat hanger coming after me. I've worked with people who've had that happen, and you want to talk about terror. And so they're the primal things that need to be forgiven to move through that.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for your call. We'll hold the space.
Thank you, Michael.
If we need to, let's continue this conversation tomorrow, and we'll certainly continue in the intensive in April. Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.yagain.com. That's www.yagain.com. WHYAGAIN.com.